Something special about a Sunday morning where we can come together and worship our Creator and to study more about Him. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll be turning to the book of Proverbs in the 13th chapter, that's where we'll begin in just a moment. In just a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Butler has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready here. The clothing here, the baptistry's filled. We'd be glad to take your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and upon your confession immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins, as is taught in Acts 2:38 and many other places. In your Bible, in the book of Proverbs, in the 13th chapter, read with me verse 15. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. My subject this morning may sound a little bit odd to the majority of people, but I want to talk to you this morning about when hell trembles. And I recognize that that topic may seem odd to some because first, some people do not believe there is a hell. And then secondly, there are others who could see no reason for hell to tremble. But I want us to look back at what the Scripture has to say about hell and then understand some things that will help us in our study. The first thing I want to put into our mind is, what is hell? And when you think about that question, that's a serious question. Just exactly what is hell? And when you think about it, just exactly how would you answer that question? What is hell? The first thing I want us to understand, in one sense, we can say hell is a place of torments. It is a place of torments. And that's exactly true. And let us not overlook the fact there are several states of this hell. The first thing I want us to recognize is one can talk about hell on earth. And when I talk about hell on earth, I want us to recognize that there are some things that could cause torment here. Not in the same regard as eternal torment, but there can be things that on this life can cause a lot of pain and heartache. I want us to recognize that in Proverbs 13:15, that hell on earth is a state of sin. Paul, or the writer of God in Proverbs 13, Solomon says, the wise man says, the way of the transgressor is hard. So I recognize that the sinner is one who's not right with God. And his conscience has been pricked. His conscience is guilty. He recognizes that he is transgressing the way of God. And here is an individual that is separated from God. If you take your Bible this morning, turn to the Ephesian letter and the second chapter. And when you come to the Ephesian letter and the second chapter, notice, if you will, what Paul had to say in chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Look at that, dead. Notice they're separated from God. Hell is a separation. There are people who are alive in the flesh, but spiritually they're dead. They should recognize they're separated from God, and that should prick their conscience. It should make them realize they need to be reconciled to God. They need to be put back in a right relationship with God. So the first thing I recognize is that hell on earth is a state of sin. But secondly, you could talk about hell on earth and being that which is alone, being separated from others. You know, there are times one might enjoy being alone. There are times one might enjoy having some isolation. But there are times in life we want somebody there. And there are times that we may turn and there's somebody we want to be there with us and there's no one there. Have you ever felt the loneliness of life? Have you ever been in through a time in life where a loved one has been sick or there's been death or family problems and there's no one there to help? I've often thought about the loneliness of life, and that can make life feel like hell on earth. But then there's a third thing. Hell on earth could be a lack of destination. This morning, if I was to ask you the question, just where are you headed? What is your destination in the life to come? What would you say? Just exactly where are you planning to spend eternity? And I want you to recognize, if you say you have no destination, then my friend, you are in a state of torment. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Job and the 14th chapter. And when you come to the book of Job and the 14th chapter, notice that Job is stating what life on earth is without God. In Job 14:1, he said, "Man who is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. You ever thought that this life here, if this is all there is, Job says, this life is a few days and it is full of trouble. So this morning, I recognize one could talk about hell on earth in one way. But I want us to talk about the hell of the Bible. And what I want us to recognize is hell is the final abode of the wicked. This is the hell that's so often spoken about in Scripture. This is what Jesus talks about time and time again. Today, people make it a joke. Today, people laugh at it. Today, a lot of people fail to see that hell is real. You can find a lot of people today on the television and even in books that are writing saying that hell is not a real destination. But I want you to recognize, my friend, the Bible declares it is. And the Word of God says there is such a thing as a final abode, separated from God, separated from comfort, separated from all eternity, from that which is good and righteous and holy and pure. So I recognize when I read my Bible that hell is not a joke or a laughing matter. In fact, the business, there is no laughter in hell. In Luke 16, when you read about the rich man, have you ever thought that that man's not laughing when he's in hell? But he's pleading with Abraham that he could go back and tell his brothers about this place. So when I look at hell, I recognize that it's not a joke, it's not a laughing matter, but it's the final abode of the wicked. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew and the 25th chapter, notice that hell is a place that's prepared for the ungodly. In the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter, look at verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now notice, hell was originally planned and prepared for the devil and his angels, but it's also for those who now what? Follow the wicked one. Hell is just as prepared for the wicked as heaven is for the righteous. Look, if you will, in Matthew 25 and notice verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, watch it, prepared for you for the foundation of the world. Who's he talking to in verse 34? The redeemed. So heaven is a place prepared for the righteous. Hell is prepared for those who are ungodly. So hell is the final abode of the wicked. It is the place where you can find an individual that will spend all eternity separated from God in a place of torments, a place of everlasting pain. Now, time won't permit me at this time to discuss every phase of hell, but I will say that all the Bible says about hell is terrible. But that brings up a second thought. And this is where we're going to spend the most of the heart of our study. Who or what can cause hell to tremble? Just exactly what could cause the devil and the wicked one to tremble? Put fear in their heart. And what I want us to do is think about what could cause hell to tremble or put hell in fear. I want to look at four things in the lesson here. And what I want us to think about this morning is, can we here at Eastside make the devil tremble? Can we make that place of hell tremble? Now, I realize the devil's not there yet, but what I'm trying to get into our mind is that we can live in such a way that it makes the devil tremble. The first thing I want us to recognize is when the gospel's preached, it can make the devil tremble. Open your Bible, if you will, to the Roman letter and the first chapter. In the Roman letter and the first chapter, notice, if you will, what Paul says in verse 16. In Romans 1:16, Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Do you recognize that when the word of God is preached, it causes the devil to tremble? Because he recognizes the gospel has the power to convert an individual. Now, the devil doesn't tremble when a man just gets up and tells stories after story or joke after joke, and it doesn't convict and convert the individual. He doesn't care if one gets up here and preaches false doctrine. He doesn't care if an individual gets up here and just says things to make someone feel good without telling them what they need to do in order to be saved. But I will tell you what makes the devil tremble is when the gospel is preached in simplicity. Have you ever thought, my friend, that when the gospel is preached in simplicity and purity, that an individual can understand it and an individual can be made right with God? And the last thing the devil wants is to lose one of his followers to God. So the wicked one trembles when God's word is proclaimed. And yet, my friend, that's what we're told to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want to know, my friend, when a man stands in the pulpit at Eastside, does it make the evil one tremble? Does he recognize God's word's going to be preached in purity and simplicity? Do they recognize that God's word will be preached in a way that can be understood? Have you ever thought that makes the wicked one tremble when God's word is proclaimed? But I'll tell you a second thing that makes the wicked one tremble, and that is the local church. Now, the church universal does as well, but you think about this local church at Eastside. I want you to recognize, my friend, that causes the wicked one to tremble. When he looks out and he sees men and women united together in love, we've come together today to worship our God, our King. We've come together to edify and encourage one another, to help one another get to heaven. And I'll tell you, my friend, when he sees a local church unified, working together, striving to please God, putting others in front of themselves, esteeming others greater than themselves, helping each other, I'll tell you, it makes the devil tremble. You want to know something I've always recognized? I've recognized when a local church starts to grow, there's going to be problems. You want to know why? The devil doesn't want a local church to grow. And I've noticed, my friend, that when a local church is starting to become unified and they're starting to glorify God, somebody all of a sudden is going to have a problem with something. Why is it? Because the devil's going to put every temptation he can in front of Eastside to keep us from being the kind of church we should be. And so we start grumbling and complaining, and we start talking about this person and that person. And before long, the people that were coming, they're going to leave. And may I say at Eastside, my friend, that kind of church will not cause the wicked one to tremble. And what I want us to be at Eastside is the kind of local church that when the devil thinks of Eastside, it causes him to tremble because he sees God's people living as they should live. Oh, I'll tell you, my friend, the local church can cause him to tremble when they're the ground and pillar of truth, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:15. But then I'll tell you, my friend, when we come together to worship, that causes the devil to tremble. When we come together in the name of the Lord and we glorify our King, that causes hell to tremble. When God is glorified, the gospel is preached, individuals recognize that Jesus is raised from the dead. When we come together in prayer, there's power in praying to God. When we sing, our faith looks up to Thee. We praise God in song. When we partake of the Lord's Supper and remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and when we give of our means so that the gospel can be proclaimed, I'll tell you, my friend, that makes hell tremble. I've got a question for you. When we worship today, where is your heart being? Sometimes it's so easy to become distracted in worship. Sometimes they'll be passing the Lord's Supper, and before long you could be thinking, oh no, did I leave the ham on at home? And then you might be thinking, oh no, did I sing that song right? Or oh no, what am I going to say in my lesson? And we can become so distracted. And I'll tell you, my friend, that's a tool of the devil. Distract us from our worship. Get our eyes off our Lord. If He can keep us our eyes on ourselves or keep our eyes on someone else and not on the Lord, He distracts us from our worship, then my friend, hell doesn't tremble. But when we see how great our God is and how majestic He is and how great and awesome He is, then that causes hell to tremble. But I'll tell you a third thing. When He looks at the lives of members of the local church, it can cause Him to tremble. When people let their light shine and they live a disciplined life to the glory of God, I'll tell you, my friend, there are some of you that I look out of and I see your light shining. And I recognize you're going about in this community, and I'll tell you, the way you live your life, it's causing hell to tremble. I look out and I see people that love the Lord. They put Him first. And I want you to recognize that you encourage others by the life you live. Open your Bible, if you will, to the Colossian letter in the third chapter. And when you come to the Colossian letter in the third chapter, notice, if you will, the first two verses. In verse 1, he says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." Can I tell you, my friend, that's one thing the devil doesn't want you to do. Seek things that are high. If the devil can get you to concentrate on things of this world, he'll do it every time. But look at verse 2. "Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Where is your affection? Where is your heart set? I'll tell you, my friend, when an individual's mind is upon heavenly things and upon spiritual things, that makes the wicked one tremble. But I'll tell you something else. Young people can make the wicked one tremble. Oh, I look out and I see young men and young ladies, and I'm so proud you're here this morning. I'm happy to look out and see you paying attention. I realize sometimes it's hard to listen to a sermon. But I want you to recognize, by the way you live your life, you can make the wicked one tremble. When I see young men and young ladies striving to do what is right, I'll tell you, my friend, that just puts a little thrill in my heart. To see them love the Lord and strive to please the Lord. Sometimes we're hard on the young people, but I'll tell you, I'm thankful when I see young men and young ladies giving God glory. And you let your light shine, young men, young ladies. You have a lot of influence where you go to school. You have a lot of influence where you live. You can bring people to Christ. And I'll tell you, that makes the wicked one tremble. But I have one last thought in the lesson, Jesus. Heaven makes hell tremble when it thinks of the contrast. In Revelation 21:4, it talks about heaven, that place of no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death, no more crying. Those things have passed away. And then it gets down to Revelation 21:8, and it talks about in heaven there will be no liars. All of them have been cast into hell. What a contrast of heaven being this place of eternal comfort and hell being this place of eternal torments, separated from God. Heaven, you're with God for all eternity. Hell means you'll never be in the presence of God again. Eternal abode of the wicked means you'll never have a prayer go before the ears of God again. You'll never be able to beg God for another chance. Once you're in that eternal abode, it'll be that way for eternity. But if someone can get heaven in their mind, that makes hell. I've thought about the people in my life that has influenced me and they've passed on. And I've thought about the fact that if they're in Christ, what hope I have of being with them again. I'll tell you, heaven's a lot sweeter when you have loved ones already there. Heaven's a lot sweeter when you think about being with God and not ever having to face death again. And I'll tell you what makes hell tremble is to realize one day they're going to stand in judgment before God. In your Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he made a great statement. It's one I'm fearful we don't pay attention to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, he said, for all, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. I'm going to ask you a question. The standing before God in judgment, that thought ever caused you to tremble? It should. But if it weren't for the grace of God and His sacrifice of His Son, to think that we'd be in hell for all eternity. But because of His Son, and because of His grace, and because we can obey His Word, we can look forward to that day when we're with Him forever. Let hell tremble. But let us be confident in our Lord. If you're here and you need to be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we pray you.